From downtown Milwaukee, welcome to Money Talk with Bob Landis. Each week, professional advisors from Landis & Company Investments discuss the latest financial developments, offering timely insight and long-term perspective.
This is Money Talk for the 5th of August, 2022. Where did the time go? Hey, the Brewers are home this weekend with the Reds, and then the Tampa Bay Rays are in town for 2 weeks. Not to be outdone, the Wisconsin State Fair and the Ozaukee County Fair are both underway. Since Tampa Bay is coming to town, let's talk Florida.
Yeah.
A Florida man got tired of waiting for his ride home from the hospital, so he stole an ambulance and drove home. I wonder if he used the siren, because I would have. In keeping with that theme, a different Florida man stole a BMW after he was told he couldn't buy it with food stamps. Only in Florida. Also from the Sunshine State, a man tried to rob a GameStop while wearing a transparent bag on his head. Turns out not all gamers are brilliant. A woman in Fort Myers looked out her window and saw her neighbor jumping up and down on her trampoline. And of course, he was naked.
Of course.
But in his defense, it's pretty hot in Florida. And finally, a tweet that's gone viral. An exotic dancer has set the internet on fire by declaring that we are currently in a recession. She based that declaration on years of research and counting all the empty seats at the club. As I understand it, she developed her theory on the recession $1 at a time. On the podcast today, we have Art Rothschild, Chris Evers, Joel Driesing, and here's your host, Kyle Tedding.
Well, thanks, Max. Certainly one of your better opens, I'd say. As we kind of come through mid-year here, getting into the latter days of summer, I think, you know, an important time to talk about some planning opportunities. Certainly, you know, we do an annual kind of giving podcast around the Thanksgiving holiday. I think that's very well received and certainly some very important topics. One of the problems that we've identified that comes out of that is that, you know, a lot of that stuff, it's already so late in the year that it's too late to really get ahead of some of the things we want to do. And so I think summer is a really good time to talk about kind of laying the foundation for that. You know, I always talk about how, you know, I want to plant seeds for conversations we can have down the road. And so think of this particular podcast as planting some of those seeds. You know, first and foremost for me, one of the big things I think that is a part of the year-end conversation is just navigating taxable income for so many people, right? Navigating the gains and losses, navigating IRA distributions, the potential for Roth conversions. And so, you know, really now's the time of year when you want to start to get that rough idea of, okay, what's this going to look like for us for the year? Because if Roth conversions are an option later in the year, well, you want to know now what you're thinking your taxable income was going to be so that you don't have to figure it all out in November or December. You can just really nail down those numbers. Chris, I know a lot of considerations, you know, right now in particular as we look at Roth conversions, but, you know, just at income more broadly.
Yeah, if we take a quick look at Roth conversions, you know, in a time period where you might be able to report lower taxable income on a given year, it might make sense to move some money from a pre-tax IRA to a Roth. But there's all types of considerations you need to have, right? So if you are over the age of 65 and you're on Medicare, you need to keep in mind that it may have adverse effects to your Medicare premiums if you go over a certain threshold. So those are things to consider. You know, also, if you're on Social Security already and maybe you don't have many other sources of income and you take a sizable Roth conversion, it may push around some level of your Social Security so that more of it is subject to taxable income. So even if it seems quite simple and obvious at the moment, hey, I want to get some money in a Roth so I can have some tax-free growth, you know, I need to pump the brakes. And, you know, that's why getting at this earlier in the year is helpful so that we can take a look and say, okay, what are all the potential dominoes from this decision and how do we make sure that, you know, they're all considered?
And Chris, again, doing it earlier in the latter half of the year is better just for being able to do it, right? Otherwise, you have a time crunch.
Yeah, and you want to have all the thought process put through before you get to, say, October, November, right? Because you don't want to have something spring up and maybe you don't actually execute it until later in the year, right? But you know this is the dollar amount we want to do, or this is the reason behind the decision, and here are some of the potential consequences, so that when you go to execute this, you're aware of all that, right? We don't want to fly blind on those type of decisions.
And Roth conversions are not for everyone. You have to do your homework, as you just suggested, and you do have to watch out, because now you're going to pay tax on something now rather than deferring it until later. So you're paying tax early to get a benefit later. Well, you better make sure that your taxes are lower now. Mm-hmm. See, most people's taxes are going to be lower in retirement. So if your taxes are higher now, you probably shouldn't be doing, you know, a Roth conversion now. And plus these other things you've mentioned, the tax on Social Security, you'll have more income, or more of your Social Security will be taxed if you do this. And the Affordable Care Act, those who are getting a break sometimes have to pay a bunch more taxes if they were to do a conversion. So be very careful, talk with your investment advisor, definitely your tax specialist. You know, you're contemplating one of these things, because they're not for everybody.
And this is why we plant the seeds now, right? This is, okay, here's what you need to go gather, right? Here are the people you need to talk to before the end of the year, so that we know, okay, yes, this is the right thing for you. I think as we look at some of the opportunities that have emerged just from what we've seen so far this year, the Roth conversion, an interesting idea this year as well, because if you're converting shares of a mutual fund, you may be able to convert more shares right now to get to the same dollar amount, because the price of that mutual fund may be lower than where it was at the start of the year. And so that's an opportunity as well, potentially, to convert some more shares, get the benefit of any potential recovery in a Roth IRA, where you're not going to then owe more tax on that conversion. And so, you know, I think a great way to know, okay, July, August, September, the time to start to gather that information. And then, okay, we get to the end of the year, and how does this fit in with what we're trying to do? You know, I think another big thing that comes up, you know, as markets go up and down, is the opportunity to recognize losses in our accounts. You know, year end is when we see a lot of capital gains distributions. It's when we're doing a lot of potential selling, you know, to fund cash for the next year's distribution. And so often that comes with some potential tax liability. But an interesting opportunity for a lot of investors right now, Art, to maybe recognize some losses on things they hold in their account, but also maybe not change their allocation all that much while they're doing it, unless they want to.
Yeah, the wash sale rules require that you don't buy the same thing, I believe, within 30 days. And you have to be careful not to overlap doing, you know, you don't want to buy the same fund in an IRA that you just sold to take a tax loss. But one of the things you mentioned earlier, too, is, you know, for example, bonds. Tax-exempt bonds have not had a good year. So if you have losses, you can get out of a Vanguard fund and go into a Fidelity fund, for example, or an American fund, you know, vice versa. Or you can change duration. You can go from a longer duration fund to a shorter duration fund. And same thing with stocks. I mean, maybe you had a lot of growth stocks because it was the best place to be the past 10 years. Maybe you have a loss this year because they've been hammered so much. You might want to stay, if you want the same allocation, you go from fund A to fund B, just so it's not the same fund. Or you might want to buy more dividend-paying stocks. So it's a great opportunity to adjust your portfolio and get a tax benefit, despite the fact that you've lost money, but you're going to get it back on your tax return. You're limited to $3,000 a year against ordinary income, plus it can offset any other capital gains that you might have. Plus, you can carry it over forever. So you develop a huge, you know, cache of these things that you can use in the future to offset inevitable capital gains distributions.
Well, and Art, I think that optionality is key. And Chris, there's plenty of reasons why maybe you want to recognize some losses now, because there's something down the road that you might want to do to, use up some of those losses, offset some gains, or take some tax liability off the table in other places.
Yeah, so if you're realizing some losses, you should also be considering that as an opportunity of, well, is there something else that's got a gain in the portfolio that I've been looking to get rid of, but I've been sitting on such a large tax liability from potentially selling this that I've been reluctant to do so? Well, if you're able to harvest a tax loss in one area of the portfolio, take a look and see if, well, is this giving me an opportunity to essentially wash the slate clean on some other position that I've been looking to sell, and have the two, gains and losses wipe each other out. Other things I consider is people that have you know, stock options or restricted stock units through their work. And, you know, some people hold on to those after they're vested and don't turn around and sell them right away, even though typically my preference is just, hey, treat that like, you know, additional level of income from your work and sell it right away. But if you haven't, and maybe the movement on price has allowed for you to sell that now without additional tax liability, now's a good opportunity to do that so you can move funds into a more diversified place instead of owning too much of your own company stock, which, you know, I don't think I need to explain why that's probably a bad idea to do.
You know, one of the other things we can do is we're recognizing losses is just hold some cash for potential, you know, needs down the road. And Art, you know, I think far too often we dismiss the importance of the role of cash, right? And so maybe now, more than we've seen in a very long time, cash is an even more important part of a well-balanced, well-diversified allocation.
And Art, I was hearing you talk before about that there are more places to put cash when you have it now.
Yeah, cash is going to be more attractive now than it has been in years. These interest rate increases that we've seen the Fed doing and that they will be doing should mean that eventually our local banks are going to have to raise rates. But in the meantime, there are online banks that offer very, you know, high interest rates on money market funds. There's something called an I-bond that you could get from the government if you can get through all the red tape to get it. You're limited to $10,000 per person per year, plus anything you receive from a tax refund. So I like cash. The thing about cash that psychologically is good for especially retired investors as well as anyone else is it may get you to spend a little more money. It may enable you to feel better about spending money when your long-term investments, which will fluctuate, are fluctuating. So I love cash. CD rates are going up, and you're going to see them continue to rise as the Fed continues this, you know, effort to, you know, stifle inflation.
Yeah, and I think far too often we wait until year end to talk about what we're going to need next year, right? That December's the time to kind of look at our balance sheet or our statement of cash flows from the last year, right? How much money as a household did we really spend and go, okay, this is what we're going to need now for the next year. I think the reality is it's too late by then to really figure out where you're going to take it from. You've limited your choices. And so having cash, talking now while, you know, we're months away from, you know, actually needing to make those decisions, talking now about what that might look like, I think, is a better opportunity than, you know, maybe forcing the hand later in the year. And so, again, just trying to plant that seed for here's another conversation you can have right now. You know, I think as we look at some other year-end things that we tend to do, things like charitable gifting, a reminder that it isn't just, you know, the year-end when these charities need and are able to use this money. And so, you know, there's no reason why if you're planning to give them money anyways at the end of the year, you know, consider bringing it forward earlier into the year. And of course, you know, there's lots of ways beyond simply writing a check to do that. You can listen in, you know, Thanksgiving every year, and we talk about all the different ways to do that. But Chris, you know, maybe an important reminder here on if you're gifting shares, just how you might want to accomplish that.
Yeah, and, you know, obviously a tax accountant would be happy to help you with some of these. But if you have appreciated shares, you know, that's usually the best thing to donate because you can essentially send that tax liability out as well, and then the charitable organization doesn't have to face any actual taxes from liquidating that security. Things you got to be careful of: if you purchased a security and have a gain on it, but you purchased it within a year and it's a short-term gain, that's probably not the type of security that you would want to gift. Likewise, if you're actually sitting on a loss on a security, it's probably not the most tax efficient to gift that security, right? Find something else that you'd be able to send to the charity, whether that be cash or some other more appreciated security, because frankly, you could harvest the tax loss on that security and send them the cash and it'd be better for you. So, you know, think through some of these things, right, of different options that are out there. There's nothing wrong about being as efficient as possible and tax friendly as possible with the money that you send to a good cause.
Yeah, and I think critical that even if you're not ready to send it now, you know, you're putting that plan in place. You're giving yourself time to really confirm that that's what you want to do, that this is the most advantageous way to do it. You know, the charities are happy to get the money, and we want to make sure that we're getting you, along with help from your trusted tax preparer, we want to make sure we're getting you the most benefit we can for that gift.
And Kyle, I'm thinking that getting that professional advice probably is more helpful than going to the charity. I think a lot of charities probably aren't equipped to help investors in those ways.
Yeah, that's key. I mean, there are so many different ways that they can receive charitable gifts. Not all of them are even set up to receive shares of a particular stock. And so one more reason why you want the lead time, right, is maybe that charity needs some help setting up the type of account that's necessary to receive what you want to give them. And they'd be happy to do it if they knew what they were supposed to be doing. And so, you know, sometimes, you know, to your point, Joel, I think that the charity may not be the place to ask, what do you want? The charity may be the place to say, how can I help make sure that what we want to give you is the thing that you're ready to receive?
And for those over 70 and a half, one of our favorite techniques is to give the money directly from your IRA. It's called a qualified charitable distribution. You literally have to be over 70 and a half. It doesn't have to come from a minimum distribution. So even if you don't have to take a minimum distribution, it's a great way to give money to charity coming right out of your IRA. It's limited to $100,000 per person per year. So just a great way to benefit charities.
And of course, you know, there's so many other places that we give money that maybe aren't, you know, 501c3 charities, but are still close to our hearts, whether it's, you know, just handing money over to kids and making sure that we're staying under the gift tax limits, or, you know, Chris, something that you talk with clients quite a bit about is funding things like college education, right? Grandparents or parents putting money into kids' accounts. Well, there's some annual exclusionary limits to that. There's some annual limits to how much you give and what kind of benefit you can receive. And so smart to start planning now.
Yeah, absolutely, Kyle. And, you know, especially as we come up closer to the beginning of a next school year for some students, you know, if you as a grandparent are considering sending money to your grandchildren, you know, you got to be careful with gift taxes. Now, if you send it directly to the education institution, right, to the college or what have it, you don't have to worry about gift taxes in that situation. But 529s are a great tool to allow for you to potentially even receive a small state tax deduction on making money that's contributed to an account for the benefit of a minor or for your grandchild. You know, other things to consider if you got a grandchild that wants to start investing and maybe has some earned income, helping them, you know, get a little cash to open up, say, a Roth IRA early on is an unbelievable tool for a young individual that maybe had a, you know, a little bit of earned income on the side from cutting some lawns or what might have you, and be able to start putting some money away into a Roth to grow tax-free. I think that's a great, you know, gift to be able to give to somebody important in your life.
And Art, maybe one more, you know, as we kind of wrap up this planning episode, right, this idea of trying to get ahead of some of these conversations now. You know, I think so often we talk to folks about kind of the legal process around what they want to happen with their money, what they want to happen with their assets. And, you know, I think this is the time of year when, while maybe a lot of attorneys are on vacation or finding other stuff to do, it's also a good time of year to reach out to them to have a better conversation about, okay, what do we ultimately want to happen with this money?
Yeah, you don't want to wait till it's too late. While you're still around, durable powers of attorney are one of the single most important things you should have. Again, you should talk to your attorney about that. Healthcare powers of attorney, you know, heaven forbid you're in a hospital and, you know, have wishes as to how you go. Wills, you know, and trusts, again, this should be something you should be talking with your attorneys about. And of course, we talk about all the time, beneficiary designations. It doesn't hurt to review those. It doesn't hurt to ask your advisor, hey, where did I say my money was going when I set this up 20 years ago? Maybe something's changed, you know. Contingent beneficiaries, and an obscure one, per stirpes designations. If you have a child as a beneficiary and that child, heaven forbid, passes, you want to make sure that child's children will get, you know, the distribution of whatever it is, and so that requires a check in a box that says per stirpes. So it's important to check those because times change and situations change.
Yeah, and of course, I think the situations change part is the one that always gets us, and making sure that those are always, you know, ultimately what you want to happen. So critical, I think, that we're always planning ahead for, you know, whatever variety of things that life can throw, not just markets, but I think, You know, summer is a great time to really make that list of here's the things that we want to address, you know, through the end of the year. It gives yourself some more time to check that box. It's great, you know, come December to say, here's the 30 things I want to get done before the end of the year. It's just as great, you know, January 1 to have those resolutions. But, you know, summer, I think, is a good time to look back at, okay, what were our resolutions? How are we doing on those? And I think just as importantly, you know, what else do we want to accomplish before a year ends? So really appreciate everybody listening. We enjoyed doing the program for you, and we will talk to you again next week.
Thank you for listening to Money Talk with Bob Landis. If you have a financial question you want answered on next week's show, email it to moneytalk@landis.com. To keep informed throughout the week, visit our Money Talk page at landis.com.